Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are, like us, marooned. You're stranded in this sad and lonely place called Barovia. To mix metaphors, we are incarcerated. The fog that surrounds us are the bars of our dungeon, and Baron von Strahd is our jailer. As far as I can tell, there is only one way out, and that is to kill Devil Strahd.
As Kribbit enters the room, he begins playing a song.
What are you doing?
And then...
Put my hand over, like, all the wires on his...
Miliov slowly... So the room is... It's just a single bedroom, single bed. It's not a particularly large bed, but the room looks well cared for and well kept. You can see off to one side, there's a wardrobe. You can see there's, like I said, the bed. At the foot of the bed, there's a little chest. There's also a desk and some drawers. And you can see a window, which would normally give you a lovely view of Valakai and Barovia. But because it is night, you cannot see anything. It is basically just a black shard of glass up against the wall. Miliov, in his bed, rolls over and you hear him, what? And then... Kribbit bites your hand, continues playing the song, and as he sings, he says, "They entered, but the little boy, he was asleep." And as he says asleep, a little vibration wavers through the air. Miliov falls asleep. Asleep, he stayed asleep.
If you're going to do that, just give us a little warning.
Asleep, but he nearly waked.
No.
Just four exciting like storytelling. But he did stay asleep.
Maybe like Pip, because he knows the clock's ticking. I turn around, I like point to Hector and point to Kribbit, like keep a fucking eye on him. And then I'm going to go start drawing the circle and arranging the candles.
Yenda doesn't know whether to smack Kribbit in the back of the head or laugh. You can see she's quite clearly torn.
Yeah, look, yes.
Pip's doing that thing he does with his snout so aggressively. He's giving himself a carpet burn.
Yeah. It's like rubbing my temples, just like, okay. So close to commanding a child to sleep.
Asleep. Dream of lovely things. Dream of these things specifically.
What are you doing?
Dream of being on a toadstool and a nice juicy fly comes by. Fly lands before you and says, "I have an egg for you." You eat them both. They are delicious.
Where do we need to hide?
Just anywhere in the room.
Okay.
Don't be within the circle of candles.
Do you know where would the hag be entering? Do we know?
Do I know? Is the hag likely to just kind of manifest in the room, or is it
the? Well, you're not 100% sure. You know that it's coming from the ethereal plane. It must have some connection to here, the material plane. There would be some place nearby to here has a connection to the ethereal plane. There's a gateway somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I wouldn't know specifically really like where.
No, it would. Well, you could have a look around and try to find it.
Would I think, is this a fair assessment?
Yeah.
That if you're spooking a kid, you'll want to come out of the, like, could she be coming out of the closet or from under the bed, that kind of thing, like a monster might.
There is a logic to that. Hags do enjoy tormenting people, and that classic archetype would probably be something that a hag would appreciate.
Maybe I express that. Anywhere that you'd be scared as a child of a monster manifesting from under the bed, in the cupboard, through the window.
Agogash nods at that, and he wanders over to the dresser and starts looking at mirrors.
didn't think of that. Could be. Anyway, I'm going to just keep doing the circle. Yenda
starts checking under the bed.
Yeah, I was like, under the bed, maybe. Oh, can I cast? Maybe I won't even cast. I'll look under the bed, see if there's a couple of the bones of Andril under the bed.
Would be a classic place for a kid to keep bones.
Would, right?
Yeah.
You and Yenda check underneath the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yenda doesn't find anything, but you see that there, as you check under the bed, you can see that one of the floorboards, it's missing two nails. And you can tell that you could lift it up.
The
bed would need to be moved out of the way before you could do it.
I maybe gesture to Yenda, like the board.
Ah, she says. She nods. And then she goes, wait a minute. Kribbit, can we just talk?
I will keep them asleep. Oh, you can do what you want.
Thank you.
It was kind of funny to watch you creep, though.
You didn't say anything. Yeah, anyway, that's fine. Yeah.
Everyone in the room at the same moment has the realization, and then just from creeping around, everyone just kind sort of
stands
just,
up. Yeah.
Right, so... yes, there's a floorboard under there, under the bed, that the nails have been taken. I assume that is probably where the bones are. I'll just turn on Divine Sense. Probably the easiest.
All right. Imagine a light source, an incredibly bright light source is peering its way through the cracks in the floorboards.
Yep, so the bones are there.
Oh, that's...
so that's something.
Good.
Mm.
Mm.
Do we need the bones gone from this room, or is that just what's drawing the hag?
I think
bones. Yeah. Well, the bones just need to be returned to the church. But yes. I don't think they're helping nor hindering here.
All right. Well, we can.
I think it's kind of much of a muchness for the current situation.
All right. Well, we cannot get them until we move the bed, and I guess we don't want to make it seem that we've disturbed anything. So, right. With the divine sense, is there anywhere, if I'm seeing that misty evil fog, is there anywhere?
It's roiling. Miliov, you think you've discovered the source. Miliov appears to be the source.
Oh, wow.
Get a good boy card. You have a close look at Miliov, and you realize around his neck, he's wearing a locket on a chain, and it appears to be, it's a closed... Imagine like a locket that you would open up and there'd be a pitcher inside.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the malevolence is seeping its way out of the crack itself.
So whatever the
hag,
it's coming from out of the locket.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was going to draw the circle around the bed anyway, but that should definitely capture it. That's good.
You can see that the locket has a family crest. That's what the crest looks like, if you would like to describe it.
So imagine a kind of very thin shield shape, at the top of which is a kind of like an open circle through the shield, in which seems to be...
That little circle, that little hole,
yeah.
The thing that you see inside it, you both recognize very clearly. You've seen it every day since you came here.
Is that the outline or the shape of a certain castle?
That is absolutely a depiction of Castle Ravenloft.
So it is Castle Ravenloft.
That's bad news.
And this crest is, it kind of looks like a winged...
Some sort of winged...
Bird chicken?
Yeah, some strange flight creature.
Yeah. Kind of like a crow or...
It's probably, actually, it would look like a raven.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I know what that might mean. There's a lot of complicated history to these lands.
Yeah, kind of,
So it does look like a raven.
It looks like a raven.
And it's called Castle Ravenloft.
Yeah.
Order of the Ravens. What is...
A shrug.
there's a lot of... Yeah, maybe for the first time you're thinking, wait a minute, Castle Ravenloft?
And then the Order of the Feather?
What's going on here?
Place has been around for hundreds and hundreds of
years. There's a lot of backstory that you are not privy to.
Maybe a couple of questions for Danica.
Do I have like a way of checking the time? Could I have like grabbed a pocket watch from someone?
You might not have a pocket watch, but you would probably be keeping aware of the time, and you know that it's minutes to midnight.
Okay.
So do we need to hide? So the hag is going to come from this locket?
I suppose so. We're going to manifest on top of little Miliov here, and I think it's probably beneficial. I don't know how much it'll help, but I think it's beneficial for us to hide somewhere in the room.
Okay. You finished the circle?
Yeah. I have, right? Circle's done, candles in place.
You and Yenda, who maybe knows a little bit about this, you've both set up the candles and you've prepped the ritual, basically.
Cool.
Is there a hiding places? What? How are we? Where can we go?
Because
in my head, I'm like, if there's a window there, I can jump out and fly and hover for a bit.
That is good for you.
That is good for me.
Less than ideal for someone I can like you.
Can you cast the light when you do that?
Ooh, I might.
I mean, like I said, it's very dark outside, so you would be very obvious.
Well, it beautiful, just says angelic radiance.
Glimmering eyes and incorporeal wings. So
it doesn't say anything about you start shedding light?
No.
Then you'd probably be fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everyone else
yeah.
will have trouble hiding.
So where can we hide? Or is it a window that's like straight, like a window, then just like, whoop, a big drop? Or is it window, maybe say,
a landing.
A bit of landing. Yeah, or a bit
like
of roof.
If
I was a, some sort of mischievous boy in an orphanage, maybe I could use this window to
sneak my way
out and cause some
ruckus. Maybe there's a tree out there or something. With a big branch.
Yeah.
Or is it just
this
on a school night? Maybe
it's a bit of a coin toss on that one. Highs or lows?
Go to my good friend's house and play Nintendo.
Oh, highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs? You open the window, look out the window, and you see a, I want to say, 20-foot drop.
Okay. All right.
Never mind. Okay.
Can I just try and, like, secrete myself in the shadow of the big wardrobe? Like,
sure.
Just kind of, like, in the kind of the shadow that it leaves maybe as the moonlight comes in.
You do a decent job of hiding yourself. I'm going to say Claudia and Yendo just step outside and are standing either side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
A Gogash is physically too large to hide himself.
Yeah.
So... No, he's not stupid. I was going to be like, he just stands in the corner silently. He's so fucking funny. But no, a Gogash also steps outside and he's just going to be also ready to rush in when shit goes down.
Cribbit, crossbow.
From Cribbit, he finishes his song and then he finishes his song and he says, and then it's time to this up here. And you hear the sound of a cracking egg, and Cribbit from the top down becomes invisible.
Beautiful. I like the noise he made.
Is that everyone? Yeah, I think that's everyone.
I think it's everyone.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go out. It would be stupid to hide under the bed in the circle. So I'll.
Oh man, I was thinking about it though. That would be so fucking funny. Yenda could have done it.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, if you want, you and Yenda can swap. Well, you could take Yenda's position. Yenda could be under the bed.
Oh, no, because then what if I kick out the circle or out a candle?
It's over
very
like
possible.
Okay.
Well, in that case, is it a ledge I can like either like kind of climb onto, like hold myself up?
I mean, you could hold on to it, yeah.
I'll cast Radiant Soul at him.
The worst poker face in the world.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you can hold on to it.
No, go ahead.
Please, by all means.
I'll try and do it, very close to midnight.
Okay, all right. How long does it last, sorry?
1 minute.
Okay.
Fuck. That's so funny.
It's like Pip just watching you stand at the window, being like, come on, man. Like,
highs or lows?
Get out. Get clock's ticking, dude.
Ooh, highs or lows?
Ooh, highs.
Maybe half, you're 30 seconds into your spell when Pip, you're currently the only one inside the room. Mm. So you're the only one. Oh, no, while Cribbit is in the room.
Yeah,
but anyway, Pip, you hear the sound of air being let out or passing through, like wind slowly releasing itself from a container. And that little locket slowly opens itself up. And then you see it's like gas slowly being released into the room. It's a greenish gas. It slowly begins to form itself into a vaguely humanoid shape, hovering over Miliov. The form becomes more and more solid over time until after about another 10 seconds has passed. You're still fine. Yeah.
Don't say minutes. Don't say
after an hour. After just over the course of several seconds, the form takes complete shape and it is an old crone-like man slowly hovering down, almost like a vampire, except they look so much more desiccated, less a Dracula, more like a Nosferatu sort of appearance. They have long, wispy white hair, which it's like they're underwater right now in the way that it slowly curls and waves around them. They begin getting closer and closer to Miliov, and you see that they're whispering something that only he can hear within his own dreams. The creature stops and turns to look at you.
Boo. Fire my arrow.
Ah, yes. All right.
This is the ghost fire arrow.
Right, I assumed so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool, cool, cool.
The crossbow bolt strikes the midnight hag, maybe in its neck.
Hell yeah.
It flares as it strikes, and you can see that it has dealt fire damage, but the flare is kind of small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, look, I got no connection to God or sundry, so.
God or sundry.
So, I get it.
All right, you deal 12 points of damage total.
Nice. Is that with both shots?
Oh, you fire twice?
Yeah, I got two attacks. Why
sure.
not?
Your second attack looks like it was a much better... Yeah, yeah, you deal...
Yeah, boy.
In the second attack, you deal 18 points of damage.
Hell yeah. All right. And then maybe I make the call now for everyone else.
Let's go to initiative. All right, Hector, you're first.
I fly through the window, and I will, as my action, I will cast Channel Divinity, making my weapon sacred. And then as a bonus action, I will charge it up with one of my smites. Let's say a searing smite.
Then it is Agogash's turn. Agogash, no one hears Agogash enter. He just, so the Midnight Hag, in the same way that it disappears and then reappears on the material plane, Agogash appears standing on the bed over the Midnight Hag.
Ah, that rules.
The Midnight Hag, as it when you hit it, Pip, it hissed at you. Then, Hector, you burst in and it turned with unnatural speed to you. Mm. Like I said, it moves like it's underwater.
That's spooky.
And then Agogash catches this thing by fucking surprise. Woof.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Agogash is just the absolute
just
goat.
A powerhouse, you know?
Yeah.
Agogash starts hacking down into it. It just begins bleeding heavily. This green, thick, strange blood splatters Millie off. Who does not wake up?
Oh, fuck.
All right. Then Yender charges in. And she doesn't want to hit the boy from memory.
Yeah.
That does radiant damage, so don't do that. This one, on the other hand, she casts a spell. She utters a prayer to Penia, and three bolts of fiery energy explode from her hand. First one's a miss, second one's a hit, third one's a hit. Oh, no.
What?
She fires five times. Three hits, flames wreath the Midnight Hag, and it takes 17 points of damage.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good. We're good. Look, it stresses me that the Midnight Hag has not had its turn yet, because if I...
Pip.
Me again.
Yeah.
All right. I will... I'll hit it with a defensive shot with my flame arrow.
All right. That will unfortunately be a miss. You load, and then it turns back to look at you, Pip, and you see it whoop, disappears.
Yeah. And then I'll just try and hit it again. Just fire another arrow.
That one hits. This is the fire. Yeah, fire ones.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's another glancing blow as the Midnight Hag swipes.
I'm surrounded by people, so
yeah,
fair enough.
With a claw-like hand, it swipes, and you nearly hit Yender instead.
Sorry.
It's all right, she says. you do nonetheless. You see that you break a nail.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take
it. You've heard
it's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, it's the hag's turn.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
All right. So the hag does three things really quickly.
Okay.
First off, he looks down at Miliov and whispers something that presumably only he can hear.
Yeah.
Miliov's eyes open up and the boy slowly gets up. As the boy gets up, you realize, because no one really checked him that closely, he has a dagger in his hand.
Okay.
Miliov stabs at Agogash's thins. is thin. So yeah. It's part of an orc, but not part
of
a human.
Yeah, I know.
Milyov stabs at Agogash's shins.
Okay, yep.
Oh, no. Agogash cries out in pain and takes 16 points of damage.
Oh, okay. Cool.
As one of his tendons is torn.
Okay. All right.
Then the Midnight Hag stares at you, Pip. Pip, you feel a whispering in the back of your mind.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pip, you fall over backwards. We'll get to you in a minute.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Then finally, for his third trick, let's say Yender. He looks at Yender and whispers something.
Oh, no.
Something penetrates the back of Yender's mind. Oh, oh my.
I hate when you realize something as you do it. That's scary.
Hector, you can hear Yender's heart. Yender's having a heart attack.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'd love to help you, buddy, but I don't know what happened to me.
Yender takes 22 points of damage.
Okay.
Yender starts Oh, I forgot she's not strong.
Okay.
Yender starts clutching at her chest and is staggering backwards.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay, all cool beans. Right.
That was the hag's turn.
Yep.
It's Cribbit's turn.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Cribbit becomes visible. And what's the most useful thing he can do right now?
So I know, okay. So I have an aura of, is it, no, it's just protection. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's good. I can stop people from being possessed.
That's good.
Or charmed, as it were.
Is that
what's happened to Yender?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what's happened to any of us? I'm scared I'm about to fall into the ethereal plane. That's what I'm scared about to happen to me.
Cribbit begins stringing along on his little lute, mm-hmm. and he calls out, "The little boy, he dropped his dagger." And at that, Milyov drops the dagger.
Okay.
He kicked it to the cute little frog. Milyov slides the dagger towards Cribbit, who rests his boot on it.
That's great.
And unfortunately, that is his action. And then he's going to give bardic inspiration to you. Hector. He looks at you, Hector, and Cribbit continues playing. The beautiful knight, he killed that bastard.
Right.
It's such a fucking catchy song.
It's so
you
good.
Realize, so good. You yeah. realize your swings can perfectly time with his song.
Oh my.
So you've got bardic inspiration. Yep. You can add a d8 to a one ability check, attack roll, saving throw, or damage for the next 10 minutes. But
excellent.
Once you've used it, it's gone.
Yep, of course,
nice.
Of course.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That was Cribbit's turn. It's Claudia's turn. Claudia steps in. Pip, you can't see her. Hector, you can see her. It's something. Claudia is drastically different. It's like a completely different person. Her eyes blazing with anger and hatred for this creature.
Yes,
her hair is kind of wild and flying about her. It looks like she's being buffeted by a breeze as her dress and cape flatter behind her.
Oh yeah.
She points a finger at the Midnight Hag and utters some sort of arcane, awful sounding, strange, like eldritch word. It as soon as it enters your mind, Hector, it leaves. And then whoop, a bolt of force strikes the Midnight Hag. It takes 22 points of damage.
Oh,
and is
done.
Slammed up against the wall.
Awesome.
Then one of the candles goes out.
Okay.
Hector, it's your turn.
All right. What? So, Pip, what happened to Pip?
You look over at Pip. If you want, you can go and check him, but that would be your answer.
I've got so much charged for an attack.
Yeah. Just hit it. I'm sure I'll be fine.
All right. I make a beeline. I go...
You swing?
With my now magical mace, I swing twice.
All right.
And, yeah... Let me know if I miss.
Oh, no. It seems like you did.
What kind of miss is that?
It's a critical miss.
So is that, if I
want to re-roll on
if that. If I want to re-roll an attack, I miss that.
Yeah, I'd spend that now. Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a hit.
That's good.
First attack hit, second attack hit.
Quick. All right, so I would like to expend that Bardic Inspiration. All right. I would like to, on the first one, I would like to kick off my...
Searing Smite?
Yep, Searing Smite, which does an initial 2d6 damage.
Yep, there it is.
So, if they catch on fire, which they can, that's an additional...
Is that a saving throw?
Yep. I think it is a constitution saving throw, and if they don't...
They'll fail.
It's cool. They'll take an extra 1d6 on their turn. They're on fire, which is great.
All right, 1d6 on their turn.
I believe. And then, my second attack, I guess I will Wrathful Smite, which is an additional 1d6 of psychic damage.
1d6, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that is it.
Would Sir like anything else?
Would you like fries with that? Okay, that is 10 points of damage. Fucking imagine.
Oh.
No. 10, 20, 22 plus your strength. 28 points of damage.
Nice.
Right.
And they are on fire.
They are bloodied.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
If that was your turn, it is a Gogash's turn. A Gogash looks at the Midnight Hag, looks at Miliov, who is still... Mm-hmm. Miliov's dropped the dagger, but is quite clearly still under the bewitchment of the Midnight Hag.
One more thing, Adam. I'm so sorry.
Yes,
they need to make another wisdom saving. Oh, they need to make a wisdom saving throw.
They will pass that one.
Okay, then never mind. They're not frightened of me.
Okay.
Okay, good.
A Gogash looks at the Midnight Hag, sees what you just did, looks at Miliov, and looks at you, Hector, then exchanges like a meaningful glance. He drops his weapon. The axe clatters to the floor. He grabs both of Miliov's hands, lifts him up, and just brings him into a bear hug.
Nice.
Miliov is screaming and kicking and fighting, but he... I'm not even going to roll.
Gogash,
I don't think, could fail.
Good move.
All right. A Gogash with the child takes several... Teenager.
Yeah.
He's not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
You got to learn some things, Miliov. Your body's changing.
He's full on puberty okay?
You're going to have some weird dreams of, like, say you're sitting on a rock eating an egg and a fly and then whatever the hag whispered.
Yeah, it means you're becoming a man.
People of your own age, they're going to stop being, you're going to start having, thoughts. And you need to repress that.
Yes.
No sexuality.
No, you naughty, naughty boy.
We're going to mess this kid up.
This is a Catholic school. We worship the Christian God here.
Yeah. Now put on your anti-masturbatory mittens before you go to sleep.
Anyway, on a more serious note, Miliov is kicking, screaming, trying to fight as much as he can, but a Gogash has him in such a bear hug that he cannot break free.
Hell yeah.
A Gogash with Miliov of it starts walking out of the room.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Good.
And then it is Yender's turn. Yender.
God, I forgot you was having a heart attack.
It's part heart attack, part fucking panic attack.
Yeah.
So with me being closer to now Yender, my aura of protection... Has that
gives immunity to charm and +5 on saving throws?
I believe it just gives me just the +5 on saving throws.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it necessarily gives people
immunity. I thought you had immunity to charm in 10 feet.
I think I might have immunity to charm.
Oh, okay. Your allies, not so much.
In that case, well...
Oh, no, maybe I do. An aura of devotion. All right. Paladins have got so much stuff going on. I don't know what's going on.
It's almost annoying.
Yeah, people within 10 feet of me cannot be charmed.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs? All right. So I'm going to give you some options here.
Alrighty.
Uh-oh.
You feel your auras, both of the +5 to saves and the immunity to charm, you feel wrapped around you, you feel that loving embrace of Penia. And you can see, it's kind of like she's reaching out with two hands for the different auras.
She
is struggling to maintain both of them at the same time. She was struggling before this encounter began.
Yep.
Then she had to start using them.
Yep.
And she's quite clearly being drawn in two directions.
Okay.
Pick which aura you want. Knowing that the Night Hag has lost their first charm victim and might make someone else start fighting on their side. Yep. You don't know if they can do that.
I just assume Pip was being charmed. I'm going to just, yeah, I mean, I'll lose the protection aura. I'll lose the protection aura and just focus on anti-charm.
All right. Keeping the immunity to charm, yeah. Dumping the plus five to save.
Yeah.
All right. In that case, Yender hits the ground.
Oh, God.
Shit.
Oh, God.
Yender is having a heart attack. And you can see she's foaming a bit at the mouth.
Oh,
that's
no.
Her turn.
Oh, no.
Pip.
Yeah, what's my deal?
You're standing in the monastery. You've got the broom in your hands. You have a dull memory that you should be somewhere else.
Where's my instruction vis-a-vis the broom?
It's nearly midnight, and you can't go to bed until the monastery is clean, until the floors have been swept.
Okay.
You've just in the back of your mind, there's this niggling feeling, this like wiggling little mind worm.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. You shouldn't be here.
Maybe I dropped the broom.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to, where in the monastery am I?
You're in the Great Hall, the entrance, if you will. Boom, boom, boom. There's a knocking at the door.
I'm going to go to the door and have a look through the little slot to see who's there.
You look through the slot,
yeah.
And you've got like some awareness of a repetition as well. So when you look through the slot, you also look down and you can see the dwarf looking up at you. When he speaks, though, it sounds like he's at the other end of a corridor. Laddie, open up.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I gotta do. I'll open up the door.
He stumbles in, and your vision, as he stumbles towards you, your vision kind of like is stretching and coming back towards you.
I think I might be sick, I say.
You throw up. Hector, Pip in the corner of the room, throws up a little bit onto himself. Pip, the dwarf, points out the door, and you can see a giant white mass. It looks like just wings and arms and claws. It doesn't look like any identifiable thing. It's not like a dragon or a griffin. It kind of like roils and moves like it's nothing solid. The dwarf calls out, "Fire, kid!"
"We've got to get to the tower," I say.
"No, laddie, fire now."
Okay, yeah, Pip, I imagine, maybe takes the crossbow off the dwarf.
You look down. You've always been holding the crossbow.
Anata start nodding. Winch it back. Boom.
Hector. You feel a piercing sensation in your back.
Put it together, Pip.
Oh my God, Hector. You take 22 points of damage.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Reload!
So he's not charmed. Interesting. What has happened?
Another bolt comes at you, but you're ready. This time, you stand aside, and it penetrates the wall where you were.
Okay, I just, like, either... Yeah, buffered it with my wings. Maybe try and line it up so you're maybe fighting the hag.
Speaking of, guess whose turn it is?
Oh, no.
We've done so much damage to ourselves.
Yeah. They turn to you and tell me something that would terrify Hector.
So terrify Hector.
Something that like would shock him to his core. Panic him, even. Something that might panic him.
Yeah, I guess the panic would be, like, no longer feeling that sort of connection to faith, or would be, like, I would say, it failing at a certain opportune time, if you were, like, say, high up, for example, and falling. I think that would be, yeah, just terrifying. Failing, I think, would just terrify him. Not being able to help. Being, I guess, yeah, like, almost, like, depowered. That kind of, like... You know, impotent rage, as
or
not so much rage, but just that kind of powerlessness, that helplessness, being like, devoid of hope.
The hag looks at you, and you are aware that you are the only person that can hear what he is about to say, but he whispers, "The gods abandon those who fail." You need to make a saving throw.
Oh, no.
Then who's Cribbit.
Gogash.
Gogash. Claudia.
Okay. You're hot. You start having a panic attack slash a heart attack.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You take a further 24 points of damage.
Alrighty.
Cool. Then he disappears. You can't see him.
Oh, god damn it.
Is he on fire?
Oh, fuck. I forgot he took that damage. He, unfortunately, is still invisible, though. Or you can't see him because he's not on the material realm. Then it is Cribbit's turn. Cribbit looks around.
Cribbit, buddy. Cribbit, fella, come on.
Oh, I know what he can do. Oh, that'd be cool. You lock eyes with Cribbit, Hector, and you see that he looks from you to Pip to Yender, and he's like trying to figure out what he's going to do. And then, Pip, you hear, "The brave hunter, he remembered his friends.
That's
he remembered his friends and where he was. Don't shoot your friends, you silly boy. You are the hero of this adventure. Remember you are." And then, when this last word, the vision around you shatters. Protagonist. You're back. You're standing in the room again.
Oh, God, who did I shoot? Oh, sorry.
Me. It is okay.
That was Cribbit's turn. It is Claudia's turn. Claudia does like a little gesture with her hand, and a whip made out of fire bursts to life. She holds it in her hand, and you can see that she's preparing herself for when she can see the hag again. Hector, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So having a panic attack and a bit of a heart attack,
a saving throw.
What do I do?
Oh, that'd be at the end of your turn. So at the end of your turn, you got to make another saving throw.
Yeah.
If you fail the saving throw, you're going to take another four. Well, you'll take half damage regardless, but...
Well, I'm currently only on 14 hit points.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, no. You want to do whatever you can to stop you from dying right now.
Okay. So I'm going to maybe just like hold my, try and calm myself down and just maybe clutch my, like maybe an arrow wound, a bolt wound, and like lay on hands myself.
You charge yourself with however many hit points?
All.
Okie dokie. Well, you feel Penia kind of shrink behind you, but you can sense there's urgency in Penia. You can see that she's giving you as much energy as she physically can. It feels like, When you get the healing energy within you, it feels like she's physically shrinking from the effort.
I'm so sorry.
Like, spiritually, you feel her shaking her head like, it's fine. Just do what you got to do.
Who's fucked up?
I mean, who isn't at this point?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. A second candle goes out.
Oh yeah. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay. Okay. And then the Yender looks like
they're frothing at the mouth.
No.
Yender's probably convulsing.
Okay. A shield of faith probably wouldn't do anything good there.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. No.
Would Sanctuary help in this situation? Probably not. I'm going to Shield of Faith myself.
Okay.
Fair enough.
They've not abandoned.
Then it is...
Don't have to make a saving throw, Adam.
Oh, right. Fuck, I forgot. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hector, you take 31 points of damage.
Okay.
Glad I healed.
Yeah, that would have been you, Kaputsis.
Oh yeah, I forgot you healed. I thought that was gonna be you down. What are you on?
18.
Okay. That rules. All right, so that's not going away, by the way. That's your problem next turn as well. Anything else?
That's all I can do.
All right. Fuck, a Gogash could still hit her.
He's got the kid.
He's not in the room.
Yeah. He's got the kid.
And he doesn't even know how desperate this is. So Gogash just spends his turn outside.
Cool. Good
trying stuff. To make sure that Miliov is okay. It's Yendra's turn.
Oh, that's always bad. Oh, thank God.
Yender sits bolt upright. She is on one hit point, but that, unfortunately, is her turn.
Jesus.
That's something. Okay, cool beans.
All right. Pip.
I got a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Please, yes.
So, when I fire a bolt that I have infused alchemically,
uh-huh.
If there are two bolts, there's a bolt in Hector's back. I'm out of bolts. If I pull that bolt out and load it into my crossbow, will it still work?
I would not. All right, so normally
yeah.
it would be discharged.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one scenario, okay. I am going to allow a coin flip to determine if it has been discharged completely.
Okay. All right.
Because I think I know what you're planning on doing, and I want you to give you a chance to do it, because I think it sounds fucking cool.
Yeah.
It turns out I don't have a coin, because I'm a poor podcaster, and instead, odds or evens?
Let's go odds.
Odds?
Yeah. Did I mean evens?
I don't know.
Yeah, odds.
Odds?
Yeah.
All right. You grab the bolt, drag it out of Hector's back. Hector, I'm going to say, for... In penance for this, Hector, you take an extra 2 points of damage.
I just want, not saying anything, just look at Pip.
I'm out of bolts. Sorry. Now, do I think it would be quicker to load it into my crossbow and fire or stab it with it?
Fuck. I would say dragging it out is, I'm going to call that, oh no, that's only an interaction. Yeah, you're fine. I mean, it's neither here nor there.
Okay. I'm probably better off shooting it, to be honest. I'll load it in my crossbow, fire it, make it a precise shot, so I've got advantage.
So you can't see the hag.
Mm.
Where are you firing? Now, know this, you made it ghost touch, right?
Yeah.
So if you shoot where the hag is on the ethereal plane,
yeah,
because the planes overlap,
yeah.
If you shoot where the hag is, you will still hit the hag.
Okay, so how big's the circle?
How big is the circle? It's 10 feet diameter.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
So last thing it did was, were you conscious?
I was not here for the last thing it did. I was out. Okay. Is it insane to just fire it at random? It kind of is. Like, I don't know where.
It is kind of insane, but it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Was there anything in terms of, like, with Emmanuel the Monster that you know that, like, once they go ethereal, if there's any kind of a trace on the reality?
No, yeah, unfortunately, no such thing.
It leaves no mark.
It just
comes out of the bracelet around it. Yeah. Not the bracelet, the necklace.
That's just the gateway. Mm.
Okay, hang on.
Would my divine sense be able to see where it might be?
Because it doesn't specify, I would say yes.
So if I can sense where it might be.
I would say you sense, you wouldn't, it's still kind of gone. Mm. I think it would have, like, count as having concealment from you, but you would know the square that it's in, essentially.
If you're kind of wavering, I might be able to tell you that, like, it is, say, you know, above, say, the pillow or next to the, you know, a certain...
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I could relay that information to you.
Let's say above the pillow.
Yeah.
If you look, it is above the pillow.
Twang!
Odds or evens?
Let's call it odds.
Odds? For real, mate? For real? You hit.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
You want to know the most fucked up part?
Yeah.
It appears back in the material realm.
Yeah.
It hits the floor. And I had like 10 hit points left.
Good job.
Thanks. Yenda.
Does my heart attack still go off?
Oh, fuck. No, that spell would end. No, you're fine. Fuck.
I go to Yenda and
Yenda pushes you away. Okay. Nah, it's all right. It's all right. She stands up. She quite clearly needs, I need air. Okay. She leaves. She walks. As she's walking to go outside, she casts healing spells upon herself.
The bones. Pip the bones. Get the bones.
Yeah,
get the bones.
You take care of all that out there.
You hear Miliov, well, you don't hear Miliov screaming anymore. Mm-hmm. You hear him stop screaming. And Agogash stands in the hallway with Miliov still in his hands. When Agogash reappears, Claudia gestures, and it's as if she, as if that person disappeared. She becomes the Claudia that you remember from before. She picks up Miliov and, crying, sobbing, holds him tight and then collapses to the
necklace,
floor.
Give me the necklace, give me the necklace, give me the necklace.
She, Gogash, snatches the necklace and gives it to you.
Okay. All right. I just wanted the necklace off the boy.
Sure. I, like, drag the bed.
All right.
I'll also blow out the candles so I don't actually set this orphanage on fire.
You hear the furious scribbling of Cribbit writing this down.
I'll lift up the floorboard and grab
this
the bones.
This was so exciting!
Thanks for helping me out of whatever was happening to me in there, Cribbit.
This one has heard story of how to destroy Locket,
Cribbit says.
Right. How do you destroy the locket?
This one can do.
Handle locket. Does it open?
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah,
it's currently closed.
Would I think opening it would be a bad idea?
Great question.
Do we want to destroy it now?
You don't know enough to know.
Do you voice this?
I would probably voice it. I don't know what this locket is. There's something inside the locket. Do we need to destroy it now?
I'd like to maybe, because I also will harvest this hag. I like to imagine I grab the hag's head and I'm like, yeah. Well, I'm dead, so.
Cribbit laughs.
If I was in the locket, I'm not anymore. And right. I'll let it rest on the.
Cribbit probably nods and says, this is a portal to ethereal, but there is no. It is prob. This one is probably safe now.
Okay. All right. Well,
this one could keep. But anything can come through portal.
Oh, still okay. Worth destroying it. Yes. Yeah, crushing your foot or whatever.
Yes, I just want to see if there's anything.
Ah, you. That one knows a ritual.
Oh, right. Well, if there's nothing can come out of this now, right now?
Well, not it right is, now, but it is still a portal to the ethereal plane.
It's like open door.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, then, I'll just open. I'll open and lock it then.
Within, you see two pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're probably literally, you would not know what a photograph is. It would probably just look like a really incredibly well done painting, but it is a photograph. It's of an old looking man and an old looking woman, one in each of the little halves. They have kind of, I would say, handsome features. Mm-hmm. They both look pretty or attractive people. And you can see that they're quite clearly well to do, like they're dressed quite well. The manner, you can tell that they're dressed well, but the dress that they have is very foreign to you. Okay. You don't recognize these clothes.
The pictures that I saw that Van Richten had drawn of, say, Strahd,
from that, do you think that they're related to Strahd?
Well, no, is it Strahd, basically?
No, it's not Strahd. Okay. Definitely not. Okay. Although it does bear a resemblance to Strahd. It's not him, but it looks like it could be someone related to him.
Does it bear a resemblance to the hag?
It's hard to tell. Okay. The hags, it's like such like.
I was just worried that like the hag was like a manifest, and then I was like, that's pretty rude of Pip to manifest his body or whatever.
No, you don't think that it's.
Okay. Can I take out the pictures?
Yeah, they're removable.
Are there anything on the back?
No, there wouldn't be. No, nothing written on the back.
I'll take out the pictures. I'll have a look over the locket. Is there anything like inscribed on the back or anything like that?
No.
And basically dangle it in front of Cribbit to be like, did you need a, can you do a copy of this?
What that one mean by a copy?
I point to his book that he's writing. He sketches a lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He turns around. He's already made.
Good. drop it.
It looks as good as the photos you just pulled out.
Right. Maybe I just hand Cribbit the photos as well. Yeah. These are inside it if you like.
Should probably kill, crush all.
Yes. If you can,
he
like,
makes a copy
of the thing.
And then he does the ritual. He stamps his boot heel into the locket and kind of gives it a little bit of like a...
Do you want to do the ritual? I want you to do this.
The ritual. Right.
So you're harvesting the hag?
I like to imagine I've dragged the bed so that you can maybe gain access to the bones.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to harvest the guts of this hag.
Cool. I rip up the floorboard.
You don't need to rip them off. You can if you want.
No.
You take the floorboard, the one loose floorboard out, and underneath you can see a little sack. Within the sack are a set of bones, bleach white bones. It looks like a full corpse.
Well, that is the bones of St. Andrew. Man, that would have been hefty for the kids.
Actually, it's quite small. Tenandril might have been a halfling.
Little guy.
All right.
Or a child. Yeah. He was probably a halfling.
Child pope sort of situation.
Actually, no. I think the bones of a halfling would definitely look different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's definitely a halfling's bones.
Okay. I will scoop up the bones of Tenandril.
All right. Add them to your inventory.
Thank you. Do I feel holier, Adam? Do I feel protected?
You don't feel protected, but you can sense the divine from the bones.
So, do I know enough about relics? Great question. Do I know enough about relics to... Because I know I mentioned previously that maybe this might help us with our certain father limic problem. Do I know what the power of relics? Do I know what
Father
they do
Limic
in terms
worship,
of devil and demons and all of that?
When these bones were in the Church of St. Andrel, they protected the church. You
yep.
are aware of that much. But they quite clearly, like, the worship of Father Limic did not start in the last little while. Mm-hmm. So you don't think that it is, you don't think it's powerful enough to protect the entire town.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Right. I need to head to the church.
I'm fine here.
Right. Poor Claudia.
Yeah.
Dealing with you. All right. And I'm like, well, okay, of all our options, we've got like Yenda, who might want to come to me with the church. Then we have a Gogash, and then we have Cribbit.
Yeah, right. You take Yenda to the church, annoying guy, Brigade.
Yeah, you're too busy. right. Okay. I just...
The annoying guy brigade. Oh, says the fucking cheer captain.
Yeah. Band leader.
I just feel really bad leaving Claudia with someone she clearly dislikes and...
Claudia seems kind of dead to the world right now.
That's something.
She's talking to Miliov. You can hear her kind of like checking to make sure that he's okay.
I grab the bones. I head out. Is Yenda there?
Or Yenda is standing out on the front porch. You can see she's pacing back and forth rapidly. She's got a pipe in her hand that she's smoking like with a reckless abandon, like a.
Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
She takes a deep breath and she says, "Yeah. Look, no. The answer is no. Yeah. But I'll be okay." She says.
Yonder, what did he?
Did you get the bones?
Yes. What did he whisper to you?
She stops, puts the pipe out, maybe starts like removing the tobacco from it as she does it.
Maybe ask for a bit.
Hell yeah, pipe it up.
Sure. She passes it to you, she relights it and passes it to you. Halfling families, or the Halfling culture in general, doesn't pay much attention to the gods. And it was a bit of an uproar when I joined the clergy. And I love Penia, but I love my family, and I think I made the wrong choice, she says.
It is not impossible to love both. Are you going to be okay here, or would you like to come with me to St. Andrews?
No, the bones need protecting. If tonight proves anything, the bones need protecting.
Okay, let's head to the church.
She nods. You can see that she's quite obviously burying something deep down, and you can tell that that is not healthy. But she does not have time to speak to someone about it.
I maybe put like a hand on her shoulder. And when I was almost given to the church, I had to leave my family behind as well. I understand the halfling community is very different to the human community. And if you need anybody to talk to, I'm here if you need.
Yenda nods slowly. She could see that she's thinking about it, but she says nothing. You make a beeline for the Church of St. Andrew. Meanwhile.
Maybe, like, again, call that to a Gogash or Cribbit. I'm probably a Gogash because
I'm
like.
You pass both of them, so you can tell them anything.
To see if they want to either come with or if, say, Cribbit is like, ooh, small story. I don't know.
Cribbit comes with. Cribbit, Cribbit's brother.
Yeah.
Cribbit the Amazing chooses to join you. Hector, because he quite obviously sees that is where the story is going. And so he, probably during that interaction with Yenda, Yenda has to turn around and say to Cribbit, who is furiously scribbling, don't write that down. Cribbit absolutely wrote it down.
Yeah, oh yeah,
but
of
here we are. All right. Agogash is just kind of quietly, he can tell the two scenarios he could join in is Claudia crying and holding onto Milyov, or you butchering a hag. And so he decides to step over to where you are, Pip. And he does that classic kind of grabs his trousers, pulls them up a little bit.
What are we doing here,
Chair? Yeah, yeah. Bends down a little bit and he just watches you and pointedly tries to give privacy to the people who are right fucking there.
After I've done butchering the hag, I would like to go over and talk to Claudia. But let's butcher the hag first.
Well, obviously, you acquire two hag eyes.
Oh, that's good. Hag eyes are great. I was so... It happens quite often for some reason where I'm in a fight and I'm like, oh, I need this. And then the thing I need is in the monster I'm fighting.
Yep. And you acquire a pinch of shadow.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you don't get a lot out of this. You do find a sapphire, but that's
it. Oh, nice. I'd like to store away all of the guts that I just took and then, like, kind of gingerly walk over to Claudia. Be like, can I get you a cup of tea or something?
Claudia, oh, fuck, man. Oh, Claudia's in a fucking... Claudia is in such a vulnerable state right now. How is she going to respond to this? She's got so many fucking feelings tied up in you, man. Dude.
I did just save the orphanage. You know, it's got to count for something.
All right, all right, all right. Get yourself a good boy card.
Yes.
Claudia calms herself down for a moment, and she looks at you, and with genuine appreciation for you being here right now, she says, yes, I would love a cup of tea. Thank you.
It's all good. I'll go down to find the orphanage kitchen.
All right. You've been here before. Yeah, maybe know where the kitchen is. While you're rummaging around downstairs, you can hear that there are a couple of teachers that assist Claudia, and you can hear that they are getting the kids to bed. But you could tell now, thank Christ, that they are beginning to settle down, and you can see that that problem is resolving itself.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Good, good, good.
One of the teachers who you probably remember, they weren't part of your posse last year, but you have met them several times just because you've been here several times. It's probably how you find the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Enters. Felix is his name. And when he comes in, he says, Has it been taken care of?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's done.
Felix, he sits down at the table and he puts his head in his hands in obviously relief. And he says, I have been, Felix is a dusk elf. And he says, I have been in Barovia for so long. It is hard to think that something happy could happen.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it. Could you point me in the direction of the tea and the kettle? And
he gestures and shows you where you can get things.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Felix stands up and you can see he's putting an ear to how the kids are, and they're quite quiet at this point, so he turns and he says, I would love a cup of tea, thank you.
There's like, is there like a drawing room for everyone to sit in, like a kind of like a...
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
I head into the drawing room, I'll bring them in.
Thank you, he says.
How's the kitchen?
He says thank you, and then it was kind of like a flippant way to say thank you, but then he stops, he turns, he looks at you, and with a lot more meaning this time, he says, thank you.
Think nothing of it.
He turns and he goes into the drawing room.
Is the kitchen clean?
Yeah, spotless.
Okay. If it was,
this place is incredibly well maintained.
If it was a mess, I was going to get cleaning, but that's okay.
That would have been funny. Maybe, all right, it's incredibly spotless, but you notice, from your origins, you are capable. You've got an eye for it. You find the one spot in a spotless kitchen.
I maybe chuck on like an apron like get like some kind of sponge and just scrub that spot while the kettle boils. And then once the kettle's boiled, I'll put it on if there's like a silver tray.
Sure. Well, while that's happening, maybe while you're scrubbing, you hear the door to the kitchen open and you see Claudia step in. She's kind of wiping tears from her, cleaning up her face. And she sees you scrubbing and she says, with a bit of humor, she says, ah, in another life, perhaps.
I turn around like kind of almost startled. There was a spot. I stand up and like dust off the apron. Tea's ready. Felix is in the drawing room.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's so fine. I'll meet you in there.
She looks around the empty kitchen, and you can see she wants to say something, but she doesn't. She leaves.
All right, I'll bring the tea into the drawing room. I assume a Gogash will be in there.
Yeah,
as well,
Gogash is already sitting at the table with Felix.
I place the tea down. I imagine I've got like the tea all completely level, and yeah, every single tea bag is leaning in the right direction.
Yes, of course.
There's a pitcher of milk as well, and maybe I've managed to scrounge up like a little bit of honey too, with exactly the right spoon, which I imagine I had to search for. Or maybe it's like not the right spoon, it's like the one adjacent to it. But
is it still Barovian honey?
Oh yeah, it's bad.
You, as you're pouring the tea,
love out tea, meaty.
You make the tea for
everyone.
The point
is you don't drink the honey's just there for looks, yeah.
Everyone's quietly having a cup of tea. A Gogash, after he takes his sip, he's stopped for a second, like the world has come to a crashing halt for him. He looks at you, Pip, and he says, "That's a lovely cup of tea." And he doesn't add anything else.
Oh, my.
I don't push my luck. Yeah, and then I would just sit there, and Pip's probably not going to say anything.
No one else speaks.
If maybe Pip will offer to, like, if there's anything that needs to be done, like if Claudia needs to go to, you know, if after this you'd just like to go to bed, I can take care of whatever else needs to be cleaned up.
I don't think I should be able to sleep tonight, she says. Well, thank you, though.
Rest might be useful one way or the other.
At a certain point, the other teacher steps in, and you, they sit down. You're having tea. Meanwhile, Hector.
Yes.
You're making your way to the church, and on your way, you can, it's quiet Valkavian streets, highs or lows.
Oh, no. Random Valakai encounter.
Lows?
Yep. Oh, that's bad. That's a bad out of motion.
Oh,
drops his mouth. It's awful.